This morning before Bible class, I was speaking with Cheryl Bonner, and she asked if I would let you all know we need to be praying for Shona Griswold. I know that many of you already have, but Shona received some tough news this last week concerning her living situation. For those of you who know Shona, know how badly she wants to go home, and she received news this past week that the doctors are not going to allow her to go home. They're recommending that she goes to another assisted living facility. And so it's really tough for Shona receiving that news. Judy Johnson and Cheryl and so many others have already been providing such good care for Shona. So we want to lift them up in prayer as well. And so here in a moment, we're going to say a prayer for Shona and also for Judy and for Cheryl as well. But also, it's so good to see the Shones here. It's good to see Samson here as well. And so we're going to say a prayer on behalf of the Shone family and give thanks and gratitude to God for what he has been doing in the life of that family, and specifically with their little boy, Samson. As you know, he had a very significant surgery a couple weeks ago, and then was in the hospital for quite a while recovering from that. And obviously, they're still on the road to recovery, but it's so good to see you all here today, and we give thanks to God for what he's doing in your lives and specifically with little baby Samson. So let's go ahead and pray together. Father, you are mighty and powerful and loving and caring. Day after day, we're reminded of your goodness and strength and power. We say thank you for our lives. We say thank you for all of the ways that you have shown yourself as faithful and loving to us. Father, specifically, we come to you praying for Shona. We pray for her attitude, and we also pray that for her overall health, especially with receiving the news that she was going to have to remain in an assisted living facility. We pray that she can have peace and comfort even in that situation. And we do continue to pray for healing for Shona as well. We also pray, Father, that you will give strength to those that have been caring for her, specifically Judy and Cheryl and Ken and Sandra and so many others. We love the way we can see the church family at work, especially when people go through difficult times. Father, we pray for baby Samson. We pray that he will continue to get stronger, and the procedure that he has undergone will continue to help him to be healthy, and we pray that he can have just a complete recovery from that surgery. And we continue to pray, Father, for peace and strength and comfort for the Shone family as they've gone through this challenging time. Father, we love you so much. We give you thanks for Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So have you ever had some wake-up moments in your life? Maybe it was a conversation. Maybe it was some sort of experience that you went through. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was the death of a loved one. Maybe it was a sickness that you dealt with. Life was cruising along. Everything was going really well. And then, bam, just like that, a wake-up moment. Of course, we know in these wake-up moments that often, because of them, we receive clarity. We receive perhaps a changed perspective on life. Maybe through it, because of a time of introspection, we are set back on track, so to speak. Sometimes these wake-up moments, they come in a whisper, right? Sometimes they come like a Mike Tyson punch right in the guts. And it's just like a light bulb goes off in your life. But we have these wake-up moments. We're going to look at a psalm that is about a wake-up moment that a man named Asaph had. Turn over to Psalm 73. We are going to look at this entire psalm. The passage will be on the screen, but I would encourage you to find it on your own device or in your Bible as well, and follow along as we work through this psalm. Again, in this psalm, we are going to see that this man named Asaph, the one who wrote this psalm, experienced a powerful wake-up moment. It starts off this way, verse 1 of Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. So it begins in a rather unsurprising way. We all say, yes, God is good to Israel. Yes, He is good to those who are pure in heart. So far, so good. Verse 2. But as for me, Asaph writes, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. So Asaph is on the edge, or we could quote Aerosmith here. He's living on the edge. I think that's Aerosmith. Have you ever been there? On the edge, holding on for dear life. You know that God is good to His people. You get that. You grew up in church, perhaps. You're certain a pure heart pleases Him. Yet even as you try to live for Him, you're unsure if you can hold on any longer. A little bit about Asaph. He was a leader of the people. 1 Chronicles 16 tells us that he was a lead musician in the band, so to speak, for the sanctuary. Through that, he played the cymbals, but he also was a teacher of the people. So this was a faithful man. We need to know that as we work through this. Asaph was a strong Israelite. He had deep faith. So Asaph gives us some background on his near fall. Pick up at verse 3. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, a pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues are possession, take possession of the earth. Therefore, the people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. So when Asaph looks at these arrogant people, he sees folks who are prosperous. Verse 3 and verse 4, they have no struggles. They're free from burdens, Asaph says. And this is the most troubling part. They're living high on the hog, so to speak, despite the fact that they are prideful. They have callous hearts, and they are ignorant toward God. Remember what they say? Does the Most High God know anything? And we all offer a collective sigh. We say along with Asaph, this is frustrating. This is perplexing. This isn't how things are supposed to work out. When our understanding of the world is disrupted in this way, like it was for Asaph, it does just about knock us over the edge, doesn't it? It seems, and this is what Asaph is saying, this is the plight, it seems the Lord is being good to people who aren't pure in heart. What's up with that? And we remember his assertion from verse 1. And so in all of this, as Asaph thinks about the actions of the people and the condition of their heart, he turns inward. He begins to look at his own heart. So he shares a bit more about himself. And what he shares is really concerning. Verses 13 and 14. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. And so as he thinks about these people who have cheated on their taxes and are even mean to the cashier at HEB, he's perplexed by it. He says, surely I have kept the faith in vain. Why have I lived like this? What's the use? Anyways, Asaph is living on the edge and he's barely holding on. And so he continues in verse 15. I think here he's introspective again. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. There's a little bit of a pivot here. His thinking is changing just a bit. He's thinking as a teacher, as someone with great influence among God's people, he begins to recognize the absurdity of his thinking. If he would have shared his doubts, so to speak, it could have caused others to stumble. And so he continues, verse 16, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Have you ever been there before? As you think about life, if you think about the good things in life, the bad things in life, as you think about what you've gone through, as you think about what others are going through or have gone through, you think, why is good things happen to bad people? All of that, you end up with a headache. Have you been there before? I know I have. And as I try to think about life and the deep things about life, it leaves you just a bit perplexed, or in Asaph's words, it troubles you deeply. And then verse 17. Till, there's a word to underline right there or highlight. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. I started off talking about a wake-up call. For Asaph, here's his wake-up call. It comes in the form of worship. In the presence of God, he was reminded of the faithfulness of God. As he worshiped God, he remembered that life in relationship with God is really all that matters. In the sanctuary, he would have prayed. He would have played his instrument. He would have heard reading from the Old Testament, and he would have been surrounded by other faithful people. In that moment, he gained clarity, perspective. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. So at first, he was envious of all of the arrogant people. Their carefree life, their prosperity, all the attention that they were receiving. But now, after coming into the presence of God at the sanctuary, he now understands their final destiny. That's not what life is really all about. They are missing the boat. I have a picture in my mind of what this looks like. And again, this is just in my mind, and sometimes my mind's a little bit weird. But so Asaph is coming to worship the sanctuary at the tabernacle. As he comes into the presence of God, and he'd been going through, you know, life as usual, but as usual, he comes to God. That's his routine, to come into the worship, to the presence of God and worship. And as he's hearing the reading from the Old Testament, and as he's singing, as he's playing his instrument, as he's surrounded by these other faithful people, God starts to do some work on his heart. Was he hearing a reading from the Torah, one of the first five books, about the faithfulness of God, or about the call to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? We don't know exactly what it was, but I get this picture. I think this is this significant of a moment for Asaph. I get the picture as he hears it. He begins to fall to his knees. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. There was a change in Asaph's life, and it came through worship. It came in the sanctuary. Verses 18 through 20. Hear the change of tone now. Surely you place them on slippery ground. Remember, at first it was Asaph who was slipping. But now he says it's the wicked ones who are truly on the edge. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them is fantasies. So the result of living like the arrogant is a ruined life, a life of no substance, is what he says. Verses 21 and 22. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Prior to the wake-up call, he's senseless, ignorant, like a beast. Asaph is saying, I wasn't even being like a human being when I was thinking and saying those things. But listen to Asaph's perspective now. Again, hear the change of tone. Verse 23, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. God and us, hand in hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. What changed for Asaph? It was a wake-up call in the sanctuary, and it made for a robust change in Asaph's perspective on life. And what we see here at the end is a worshipful life, a worshipful mindset, we might say. He says about God, God is always with him, not just in the sanctuary, but every day, everywhere that Asaph goes. And when the Lord is near, we worship. In verse 24, God is guiding him and providing a glorious future for Asaph. God is really all that he needs. Remember what Asaph says, the earth has nothing that I desire besides you. Do we believe that? Think of Asaph's mindset before the sanctuary moments. Envious because of the carefree life that everybody had, the prosperity they had, the attention that they were receiving. Now, following the sanctuary moment, Asaph says, the earth has nothing that I desire besides you, Lord. Do I believe that? Do you believe that? He says that God is the strength of his heart, and in God he finds refuge. So Asaph's time of worship in the sanctuary, it transcended that visit to become the truth of his entire life. He had a worshipful mindset, as I mentioned before. So Asaph, from that point forward, walks with God, and he does so in wonder and awe of his God. He understood who God was from that point forward, that God is the creator, that God is faithful, that God's the protector. And of course, upon understanding who God was, he had a better picture of who he was supposed to be. If you have God, is there anything else that you really need? And so in our life, we've been talking a lot about Asaph, but in our lives, wake-up calls happen in many forms and at many different times in life. It could be in a worship assembly. It could be as you read scripture. It could be in a time of prayer. It could be in a conversation with brothers and sisters or an experience that just rocks you to the core. But what happens in these wake-up calls? I believe what God is doing through those wake-up calls is he's helping us to grow in our faith as we walk in awe and wonder of our God. Do you walk? Do you live in awe and wonder of your God? Asaph said that he sees God walking hand in hand with him. Do we recognize that there is nothing in heaven or earth that we need beside God? That is walking worshipfully, living in awe and wonder of our God, understanding that God is our true refuge. We find protection and security in him and in him alone. We lose this sense, don't we? We all do. We lose it from time to time. Asaph was a religious leader. He lost it. But that's exactly why we need wake-up calls. And a question that we all should ask as we think about these wake-up calls is, how will we respond to the wake-up call? Will we ignore it? I've been there before. We ignore it. Do we try to hit the snooze button? I'll wake up later. Thank you very much. Or maybe hit the snooze button 5 times. Some of you do that. I know you do, because I do it quite a bit myself. Or are we moved to deeper faith, like Asaph, a changed perspective? There's a song that I love by a group called Need to Breathe. There's one stanza in there particularly that stands out, and I'd like to read it for you. Days, they force you back under those covers. Lazy mornings, they multiply. Glory's waiting outside your window. Wake on up from your slumber. Open up your eyes. Wake on up from your slumber. Open up your eyes. Today, this very moment, as a matter of fact, some may be hearing a whisper. Wake up. Wake up. For some, you might be hearing a shout, wake up. Wake up. Maybe it'll be tomorrow for you. Maybe Thursday. I don't know, but a lot of us need to hear, I need to hear, wake up. Or more like, wake up. Maybe, hopefully, when you hear it, when I hear it, you will get out from underneath the covers. God is leading us to glory. And we all know this to be true, right? These walls cannot contain our God. These walls cannot contain our God. Remember what Asaph said in verse 28. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all of your deeds. When you encounter God, first of all, you can't help talking about it. Asaph had an encounter with God. He said, I can't help talking about all of God's deeds. But today, we're worshiping God as an assembly, as a church family. Tomorrow, we will live worshipfully for God, walking in the awe and wonder of our Creator. And so, wake up. God is reaching His hand out to you. The question is, will you reach your hand out to Him and grab hold of His hand and walk in the wonder of our Father? If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of the church family, we'd be honored, glad to pray with you and for you. Here in a moment, Jim's going to lead us in an invitation song. If you have anything that you'd like to bring before us that we can pray for, you can come forward and let us know, and we'll be glad to honor that request of yours. If there's anybody here today that is ready to put Jesus on in the waters of baptism, we would love to witness you do that, just like Braden did last week. So if you have any need whatsoever, you can come forward now as we stand and we continue to worship our God.